So our subject this morning is fruitful abiding, and we're looking at the verses which Paul read to us. That's John 15, verses 1 to 17. So you may want to have your Bible open at those verses so you can look down, check out that what's being said is in line with the Bible. Jesus has announced that he would very soon be leaving his disciples. He wanted to bring comfort and encouragement to them. As they faced his imminent departure. And he did this. He brought comfort to their troubled hearts. He assured them that he was going to his Father's house and he was going to prepare a place for them and would come back to receive them to himself. Jesus went on to explain that when he went back to heaven to his Father's house, he would ask the Father and the Father would give them a helper. He would send the helper, the Spirit of Truth, who would be with them forevermore. Divine help would be with them and dwell within them. And the Holy Spirit would be everything to them that Jesus had been whilst he was physically with them, but in a new way. And now as they leave the upper room and walk silently through the streets of Jerusalem, they come out of the city and make their way towards the Garden of Gethsemane. And here, the Lord explains more of what this reset in their relationship with him will be like. And seeing a grapevine, he uses it as an illustration. He is the true vine, and they are the branches. Now, we need to give very careful attention to the teaching of our Lord here for us this morning, because it applies directly and entirely to every believer today. It sets out the way for us to live a fruitful and a joyful life, dwelling in the love of the Son and of the Father, bringing glory to the Father by being fruitful in his service and in our lives, and thus proving that we are the disciples of Jesus. And as we'll see as we go through these verses, that what we discover here is what it means to be connected, being connected, what it means to stay connected, to abide, to continue connected to Christ, and what it means to bear fruit because of that. I am the true vine, says Jesus. My Father is the vine dresser. Before Jesus talks about the connection between him and his people, he talks about his connection with the Father. Jesus has said a good deal about that already. He often refers to it, as he has done in his talk to the disciples here. My Father is the vine dresser. It's almost as if Jesus is saying that he's in partnership with his Father, with the two of them working together. And we've seen this already, as we've said several times, that when the Son of Man is glorified, that God is glorified in him. God the Father is glorified. And when God the Father is glorified, God the Father will glorify Jesus, the Son of Man, in himself, God the Father. There's this interconnection between the Father and the Son, a link, a union between them. And so it is here that he goes on to say, or has already said actually in chapter 14 and verse 10, if you just look back into the previous chapter there, he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. That there's a mutual indwelling between the Father and the Son. The one is in the other, and vice versa. And he wants his disciples to know this and to believe it. He goes on to say, if you ask in my name, the Father will answer your prayer. And so the Father, he says in verse 13 of chapter 14, as you do this, the Father will be glorified in the Son. The two of them together, this vital connection and this union, which also applies to the Holy Spirit. And as we saw last week, that when the Holy Spirit comes, who else comes? The Father and the Son. They come along as well, because they're of the union with them. If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come, as the Holy Spirit comes, we will come and make our home in him. So these things speak of the wonderful union, the absolute and perfect union between God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Three persons in one God. And as they are three in one, so they work together. They work together. So Jesus said in chapter 14 and verse 10, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does the works." I'm saying the words. The Father's doing the works. We're working together. See, both as to his words, that's the teachings of Jesus, and his works, that's the miracles of Jesus. He is operating in partnership with his Father. His words are the Father's words, and his works are the Father's works. They have been completely at one and working together in all that Jesus has said and done. Now that's wonderful to know that, about this wonderful mutual indwelling and oneness and partnership and working together between Father and Son and Holy Spirit. But it also has things to say to us about our relationship with him and how we have somehow as well, through faith in Jesus, become united to God and become part of that incredible working together between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So having said all these things about his Father, it's not surprising that when he comes to talk about the vine, Jesus says, "I am the true vine." Here's just a vine, physical vine. "Well, I'm the true spiritual vine," he's saying. "And my Father, he's the owner. He's the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit." This is kind of an introduction to what he's going to be saying. But right from the very outset, he identifies that in this spiritual vine, there are two kinds of branches. There are those who bear fruit, and there are those who do not bear fruit. And they have two very different outcomes. Those who do not bear fruit are taken away from the vine. Those who bear fruit are pruned. They are cut back, and they're taken through difficult experiences and hard things so that they might bear more fruit. So there's a very big difference between these two branches, and we need to see that. We'll come across that a bit later on, but we need to be aware of that. We need to already be asking ourselves, which one am I? Am I a true branch? Am I a real a branch that bears fruit? Or am I a fruitless branch? Now Jesus is very concerned to encourage his disciples. So do you remember when he was washing their feet? Peter said to him, he said to the disciples at some point, he said, "You are clean. You are all clean, except for one of you." And we know who that is. That is Judas. And he wants them to know that. He wants them to know that they are his, that they belong to him. They are his true disciples. And that through his word that has come to them, and through his grace, that they're clean. They're washed clean from their sin. They are true disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he says this here. Immediately, he wants to assure them that they are clean. "You're already," he says, "now you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you." But that brings him to what he really wants to say, and the whole purpose of the illustration of the vine. and what he wants to say to you and to me this morning. And it's just those three incredible words. Abide in me. Abide in me. And he adds, amazingly, and I in you. See that? He's using the language of mutual indwelling that he'd used about himself and the Father and the Holy Spirit about his relationship with you as a believer. He says, I want you to abide in me, but I will abide in you. In fact, that's how we can abide in him. And so we come to the important question of the important thing that Jesus wants to say here, which is about staying connected. That's the heart of what Jesus is saying. This branch is going to be fruitful because it's connected to the vine. It's an amazing picture, isn't it? How it is that through the sap coming, the life of the vine coming into the branch, that branch has life and vitality and is able to bear fruit, to reproduce fruit in their lives, in itself. And that's the picture that we have here. And it's a wonderful picture. As the sap rises in the vine, the life-sustaining nutriments come into the branch. But we need to see that Jesus is saying here, abide in me. He's not saying be a part of the church. He's not saying be sure to keep on praying or don't forget to take the Lord's Supper. These are all wonderful things. But these are all means to an end. The great thing that Jesus is saying here is that we are to abide in him, having been connected to him through being made one with him as we believe in the Lord Jesus. So we continue to stay connected with him. So if you like, that connection which is made when we believe is like unites us to Jesus. We are made one with him. And the abiding that flows from that means that we stay connected. That means that we have communion with him. With him. We have communion with Jesus himself. That's what it's about. That's what he's saying. That's what he's telling us. And it's a remarkable thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing that every individual believer, by virtue of their connection with the Lord Jesus, can experience on an ongoing basis, a continuing abiding basis, communion with Jesus, that they can know what it is for his life and his grace and all that he is to be coming into their lives as they remain connected to him. And so it's very important that we should do this. Because Jesus goes on to say, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself, unless it abides in the vine, cut the branch off the vine and it withers. Neither can you, except you abide in me. Doesn't work, does it? We find ourselves kind of drifting a little bit. We're not as close to the Lord as once we used to be, suddenly we're not quite the person that we were. We're getting short-tempered. We're doing things that we didn't want to be doing, and we don't have the same warmth in our prayers and love for the Lord's people and desire to reach out to witness to him, to other people. And it's as though the branch is kind of withering a little bit. And this is what we need to do. We need to get back into communion with Christ, to abiding within him. What happens then is what happens in the springtime winter time, everything sort of dies off and dies back, and all the leaves fall to the ground. And it can be like that in our lives at times as Christians. There can be like a winter in our soul. But then as the sun starts to come through again and starts to warm everything up and wake everything up, so it is that what happens? The sap rises. And branches, new branches and leaves appear and blossoms appear because the sap is rising again. And that's what it's like for the Christian. As you come back to the Lord and you draw near to him and you come back to where you should be, to abiding in Christ, having this close and constant fellowship with him. And then the sap rises and you start to change again and you start to have joy again. You start to bring forth fruit. You can't do it on your own. You cannot. I am the vine. Whoever abides in him, in me, and I in him, he says in verse 5, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. And that's a lesson that sadly we have to learn all too often. We imagine we can just do something. We don't pray about it very much. We just make a decision, it seems the right thing to do, and off we go. And it doesn't work out. Without me, without abiding in me, without following me, nothing's going to work very well, is it? You can do nothing. But then again, he comes on to talk now about those who don't abide in Christ at all. Those who don't have that vital, fruit-bearing connection to the vine. And what happens to them in verse 6? Well, the end is not good. And that's why it is so very important to know which you are. Which are you? Are you connected to the vine? Are you going to be bearing fruit in your life through that? Or is it that you don't really have that true connection, that fruit-bearing connection with the Lord Jesus? And there is no fruit, and there can't be until such a time as you get connected to him. And if you don't get connected, what happens? Well, five things happen. First of all, the branch is thrown away, is cast aside. It has no usefulness anymore in the things of God. And then it withers. That's what happens to the branches not connected to the vine. This wither away. And so people die. And after that, three more things happen. The branches are gathered. At the end of the world, the end of time, the angels come and they gather these branches together and they throw them into the fire. But they have no use. There's dead branches and they're burned. And that's the fearful contrast there is here. There's fruitful abiding. And there's unfruitful burning for the unfruitful branches. The Lord Jesus is very clear about these things. That's why it is so important for us to be aware of these things. But the wonderful thing is this. It can happen like this. Okay, somebody kind of gets connected with a church or gets interested in church, starts coming along. Maybe the wife or the husband is a believer in the Lord and they think, well, I better come along. And you start getting a bit interested and you start adopting a kind of a Christian lifestyle. And you think to yourself, well, if I just come along to church and I live a kind of decent life, if I give up smoking or whatever it is, and that'll be it then. But it doesn't work. It can't work. You need to get connected to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that happens when you realize you can't do it yourself. You realize that you absolutely need him. You need him to deal with your sin, to forgive all of your sin. You need him to help you to live a new life, to come in and to bring his life into your life, to be connected to him. And that can happen. That can happen this morning, because it happens by faith. It's not something you earn, that you have to pay for. It's something, not something that you kind of have to do and work to make it happen. It's something that happens when you believe. When you simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. When you stop looking to your own efforts. When you give up on yourself. And when you give yourself over completely to the Lord Jesus. And say, Lord, I need you. I need you to save me. I need you to wash my sin away. And you believe in him. You believe that when he died, that's what he died to do. That's what he came to do. To save you by dying for you in your place on the cross. And so you put your trust in him. It is that simple, really. It is that simple. Just believe in him. Can you do that? He will help you to. Somebody once said, Lord, I do believe, but please help my unbelief. I'm kind of struggling to believe. Please help me to really believe. That's a good prayer, isn't it? Lord, please help me to believe, to be connected to the vine. So I will then go on to live a life which bears fruit for you, Lord, because I love you, because you have loved me, and I want to be fruitful in my life. And this is an amazing relationship. It says in the next verse, verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. So this abiding in Jesus, the union with Jesus, is something quite extraordinary and something quite mysterious. And even that the communion with him, the abiding with him, is of that nature. But that's the essence. In essence, it is a mysterious thing how we're connected to him and how we're united to him in our lives. But in practice, there are various ways in which it kind of works out. And one of the most important ways, as Jesus says here, is that his words abide in us. We so much need the words of Jesus, the words of God, to be taken in to our lives. We need it just as much as our daily food. In fact, we need it more than our daily food. We need his words. We need to abide, to be continually taking in the words of the Lord Jesus. Our pastor is going to say something about this later in the year to the young people, and how it is that it's a wonderful thing to have a quiet time. But then how about having times during the day when you just read something from a psalm, and you just pray, and you just pause, and so his words are renewed to you? I'm astonished, you know. I know that I spent ages reading the psalms, and I come back to them, and I thought, I don't remember that one. It's extraordinary, and it blesses me and helps me to continue abiding in Christ by his words. These are all the words of Jesus, that were inspired by the Holy Spirit, the word of God. Abide in my words, he says. And when you're doing that, you're so kind of at one with God that whatever you're going to ask, he will do it for you. It's an extraordinary thing. And so you've got this fruitful abiding in his words, and this fruitful abiding in prayer. So as you're doing that, as you're abiding in Jesus and abiding in his words, your prayers become fruitful because you're being led by him and being helped by him to pray. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? It's a wonderful thing to pray and to know what it is for God to answer. He doesn't exactly always answer as you thought he maybe ought to, but he always does. Hear our prayers. And at his time, he always does answer. And it's a wonderful thing to be living like that. And I'm just wondering now whether I'm talking about a kind of a life to which I sort of aspire this fruitful life of abiding in Christ, having his words abiding in me, and having my prayers heard and answered. Oh, I've tasted of that. But do I really know that on an ongoing basis? And I wonder if there are folks here, you know what I'm talking about, but you haven't really kind of entered into that to the degree that it's being kind of talked about here by Jesus this morning. And so he's speaking to you. So this is something I want for you. I want you to abide in me, to have communion with me, my words to dwell in you. I want you to have a fruitful prayer life. And the wonderful thing is, he says, by this is my Father glorified. That's what he's so excited about. Because my Father's going to be glorified. And that's what we should be excited about as well. Through bearing much fruit. As we do these things, we start to get more like Jesus in his character, in his attitudes, in his love and compassion, in his patience and his grace. We start to get more like him in his holiness and purity. And we start to be more effective in our lives for him, in reaching out to other people and seeing people converted and coming to know the Lord Jesus. But it all comes back to this. It's not techniques. It's all, this is how to witness. Oh, do this, this and this, and this person. No, it's about abiding in Christ and his words in you and having fruitful prayers. And then the Father is glorified as you bear much fruit for the Lord Jesus. And prove yourselves to be his disciples. Now, most of the doubts we have are because we're not close enough to Jesus. If we got closer to him, we would know. We would prove to ourselves and to anybody else, for that matter, that we are truly his disciples. And then Jesus comes to something as if he hasn't said enough. That I can't tell. I just have to tell you what he said. Just listen to this. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Just let that sink in. The love of the Father for the Son, infinite, eternal, limitless, pure, perfect. As the Father's loved me, so how can it be? It must be true because Jesus said it. So I have loved you. So, yeah, I want you to abide in me. I want you to abide in my words abiding in you. But I also want you to abide in my love. How does that work? If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. That's how it works. We love him who has first loved us, and we show our love to him by keeping his word, his commandments. And not only does he tell us to do this, but he says, look, if you're not sure what that looks like, then just take another look at my life. Because I want you to do this just in the same way that I have loved my Father and have kept his commandments. He's given us an example of loving obedience. See, the love of God is a wholehearted love. It's a totally committed love. God, on his part, when it comes to love, is totally committed. Nothing is held back. That's how God loves. That's how the Father loves the Son. That's how we are to love the Lord Jesus. That's what he desires from you, young person, older person. That is what he desires from you, that you would love him with a wholehearted love. You would hold nothing back from him. Abide in my love, he says, and keep my commandments. And these things, he says, I have spoken to you. What's the result then? What was the result last week of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us? It begins with P. Peace. Peace. And what's the result of abiding in Christ? My joy. Joy. These things I've spoken to you so that my joy may be in you. Jesus Christ rejoiced in doing his Father's will. He rejoiced in his spirit to abide in the Father and in the Father's love. And that's my joy, he said. I want that to be your joy as well. Your joy may be full. That's true, isn't it? Isn't that true? When we're starting to live that way, when we get somewhere near to living that way, when we aspire to, and the Lord helps us, that's true, isn't it? We have a joy that we won't have if we're not close to the Lord. We can't have his joy in this way. And so that's the carrot, if you like. That's there, that his joy might be in us. And then he reminds them of something he's already said. This is his great commandment to his disciples. He's going to be leaving them. This is what he wants them to do when he's gone. And he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Same thing applies. Wholehearted love. Self-giving love. The love of God. And then he goes on to give a hint of what's going to happen the next day. He says, greater love. This is the greatest love. Greater love has no one than this, than that someone would lay down their life for their friends. The disciples, he told them that he was going to die, but they couldn't handle it. They couldn't take it in. And this is going to happen the next day. He's going to lay down his life for his friends. And he wants them to see that's what he's going to do, and that's because of his great love. There can be no greater love than this. And he goes on to say to them these things. They called him Lord and Master. He now calls them friends. He says, you are my friends if you do what I have commanded you. Don't call you servants anymore, because a servant doesn't know what his master is doing. You don't reveal that. If you're kind of down the food chain, you know, kind of the senior management team might get into it, what's happening. But if you're a humble servant of the company, you don't know, and sometimes you get very frustrated because you don't really understand why they're doing what they're doing. And maybe sometimes with good reason as well. But it's true, the servant doesn't know what his master is doing. But I've told you. It's what I've heard from my Father. The things that God has given to me to share with you, I've told you. You've had it all. I've got nothing else to say. I'm done. I'm going to the cross. When I come back, there'll be a lot more to be said. But for now, I've told you everything. Because you are my friends. It's a wonderful thing. That's why the Lord lets us into this. That's why he tells us about abiding in him and these wonderful things. Because he's treating us as his friends. Friends of God. The friends of the Lord Jesus Christ. And by the way, it wasn't because you chose me. It was because I chose you. And I set my love upon you. And I appointed you to go and bear fruit. And that's a wonderful thing. Because it's not about what we've chosen and what we've done. It's about what his choice and what he has done for us. And so, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go. Now, we're starting to get into next week's territory here, where we're talking about greater things. But there's been a number of hints that the Lord has given to them about being sent, about having to go and do something. And here it is again, that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. This will be a lasting fruit that you will bear for the Lord. And you can just pray. If you need anything you need in this life, you can pray. When you're struggling, when you're not getting anywhere, when you fail, you can pray. I'm so glad about that. I can just come to the Lord and sometimes just pour out my heart in prayer to him and just ask for his help in carrying on. And then Jesus says something very kind of serious at the end here. He's no longer chatting, or it's not a sort of a two-way thing, is it, anymore? Before, there have been questions asked and answered. At this point, Jesus is teaching, straight teaching. This teaching is in the nature of a command. So we need to hear the command of Jesus this morning. These things I command you, so that you may love one another. Let's pray. And we thank you, O Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful thing, that having united us by faith to God, to Christ, Lord, we are to continue in an intimate, close relationship, bound together, united together, connected together, abiding in Him. In Him, Lord, we are to have communion with Jesus. We're going to do that, Lord, in a few minutes as we gather around your table. And pray, O Lord, that we might draw near to Jesus, and that we might be abiding and communing with Him. Lord, please help us to reflect upon these things. Help us to pray through them. Help us to make them our own, Lord, so that we might bear fruit, so that the Father might be glorified. We pray. Amen.